Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Federalist Files. I just recorded about 5 to 10 minutes, and I did not have my mic plugged in, so we're gonna try to go over all this, all over again. So, I don't want to start here. The government, with these fires in Hawaii, you have these residents, and it's weird. Currently, the market is not doing well. A lot of these investment firms, they're putting money in CDs, they're putting money in multifamily units, they're putting money in condominiums, they're putting money into building apartments, because there's not a market right now for building houses. It's expensive to build a house. It's very difficult, especially where I live, it's very difficult to get the permits to build houses. So no one's building houses. Everyone's investing their money in like really safe things right now. So what would be safer? And this is all conspiratorial. Let me do the quote unquote fingers here. What would be safer than burning down Hawaii? And you know, the people that day, I don't know if you've seen the videos. They're pretty viral. I would go to Twitter. I generally use Twitter a lot for my news. It's probably the best news aggregator out there. If you follow the right accounts, you're going to find a lot of things that the mainstream media is not reporting. If you go to Twitter, you can check it out. There's tons of residents of Hawaii, which you would call indigenous people or locals, people that have, their families have been there for centuries, talking about how they had no cell service. The response team was terrible. The federal response, FEMA, was horrible. It was like they were nowhere to be found. And this is a story that is not being covered at all. And they were like indicting Trump at the time, you know, like that was the big story. We're going to indict Trump. We're going to like fucking take a picture of him or arrest him or whatever. I think it kind of backfired. I think it's stupid. I don't know how I necessarily feel about Biden getting the impeachment. I don't know. I'll talk about that later, I guess. But to get back to the Hawaii thing. So what's going on right now is it seems like the fire happened. Right, which is unusual, because to begin with, Hawaii is not dry like that. Hawaii is going to be wet. It's going to be more of a humid environment. It's going to be hard to start a wildfire there like that, to that extent, the way that it has been. A lot of people died. It's weird. Death count was like 1,000. Now it's like 900. I don't know. The death count went down. You never usually see that. You always see death counts go up. So I think that kind of opens up. That kind of lets my radar go off a little bit. There's something weird there. You got big companies like... what's the name? BlackRock. Everybody says BlackRock. BlackRock by 2030 is estimated to have like 60% of houses in the United States, or 60% of the real estate. It's BlackRock and like two other big companies. So essentially like 60% of all real estate in the United States by 2030 is going to be owned, or it's either 2030 or 2035 is going to be owned by like three big investment firms, which is absurd to think about. So it would not surprise me if there was some sort of a conspiracy to burn down the place that is very, very monetizable, full of people that have been living there for a long time and are unwilling to sell their land. Because people that have lived there for hundreds of years, they don't care if somebody comes. They live a totally different life than you and I. They live on an island. Leaving that island to them is like not even a possibility. It's not an option. They do not care. They love where they live. They love their locals. You know, because everyone's family, everyone knows each other. They have a good sense of community there, so they're not going to sell their homes, right? Like, it doesn't make sense. When you have this tight-knit community, you are racially somewhat homogenous. It doesn't even matter if they come in with $1 million or $2 million for your home. Like, you don't want to sell it. You're going to pass it down to your kids, and it's just going to continue, right? So what better way to get people, indigenous, local people that are living on that land, out of the land, than starting a fire? Because everybody knows the insurance industry, the insurance companies, you've gotten a car accident before. You've totaled, everyone knows a person that has totaled their car, right? And the insurance pretty much fucks them, gives them like nothing. They'll get, oh yeah, we'll give you like $3,000-$4,000. And you're like, well, that car to me was really worth like 10 G's, you know, because I was going to get another, you know, five years out of it, driving it back and forth to work. So you pretty much just take your money, you down payment on the next thing. So in this case, these people are getting, yeah, sure, insurance is paying them. I can't imagine them paying, they're not going to pay them the full price of the home. They're not going to pay them what the real value of the home is. So you have a bunch of people that are going to be displaced, because now they're going to have just land at this point. They're not going to have a house. If they want to rebuild their house, it's going to be too much money. They're not going to be able to afford it. And then they're just going to have to leave eventually. It'll get to that point, or they'll buy a smaller plot of land and try to build on that. Or sell off a piece of their land and build on, and use that money to build a new house on whatever they have remaining. So whatever the case is here, you have a bunch of locals that are going to have to give up a piece of their land. At the very least, that's what's going to happen. You're going to have these big companies where, like I said, it's very monetizable. Everybody, it's a huge tourist destination. Hawaii, people love it. It's super expensive of the tourist destinations in the United States. It's probably the most expensive place to go to in the United States. So I think that there's some sort of conspiracy. There was some sort of plan, and it does make sense. And I do agree with people that are pulling that one out, because there. I mean, if we're going to get to January 6th, we're going to get to. We'll start with Operation, something like as simple as Operation Paperclip, which was in Cuba. There was a false flag operation by the CIA to try to engage and start a war with Cuba during the Cold War while JFK was president. JFK himself called it out, stopped it from happening, and then he was shortly thereafter assassinated by a man, by one person apparently, that was able to shoot three rounds in like 5 seconds from very far distance, from 100-something yards. And from different trajectories, which just does not make sense. So to me, if I had to guess, the CIA or the mob killed JFK. If I just had to make my random estimation, what happened to him? Because at the time, him and his brother were going after the mafia pretty hard. I think his brother got assassinated by the mafia too. After that, so you got Operation Paperclip. If you look into the Gretchen Whitmer conspiracy to kidnap her, this is not like a theory. There were FBI agents involved. They were like spearheading the operation. One of them was second rank in the operation to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer, meaning the FBI had people entrap other people into conducting like a fake, and no one ever even did anything. They just arrested a bunch of people, and then they claimed it was like white supremacy. And it was during COVID, of course, you know, at all the times. It's very interesting. Michigan's an interesting place. It can be very liberal, but there's also like these really rural areas where there's farmers all over the place. So it's kind of like an interesting hodgepodge of different people and ideologies. But yeah, so they set that up as well. And then you have January 6th with unindicted co-conspirators. And then FBI agents were in the crowd that day. And, Tucker Carlson, while he was at Fox News, he had one of those interviews with, I believe it was the head of the Capitol Police, or like the head of the force there, or the chief or something. He recently retired. He claims that there were FBI agents in the crowd that day. You had Capitol Police officers letting people into the Capitol itself. I mean, how many things you have to... And then you also, if you go back to Alex Jones calling... Oh man, I wish I can remember the name of that weird satanic ritual that they do in California. The creepy politicians being all weird and shit, like the sacrifices and stuff. That's true, right? Like, we have video evidence of all this stuff. It's so hilarious. And then he would confront people, and then they would freak out and they'd be really upset about him doing it. Oh man, I can't believe it. Off the top of my head, I'm blanking on it, but the other thing is he also called 9/11. Right? So it's just like WMDs also were in Iraq, but they weren't. We used MI6 intelligence agencies to confirm that. MI6, the same British intelligence agencies that we used to confirm the Steele dossier, which was not real as well. It was made up. So yeah, we've been using the intelligence agencies in the United States to carry out a lot of like weird political things. I'm getting to the point where I don't know who runs who. Like, does the deep state establishment crowd, do they run the CIA, or is the CIA running the country? Like, which one is it? I'm not really sure, but it would not be far-fetched, is my point, to think that things burning down in Hawaii and killing price of land, or putting people in a position where they need to sell their land for a very cheap price to big companies, it's not hard to believe that that would be put together. It's also not hard to believe. It's not so far-fetched to think that FBI agents are not grooming people to commit mass shootings either. I don't think that that's actually a far-fetched opinion to hold. either just considering the history and everything that's, and these are things that are public knowledge. Some of the things that we're talking about here, are public. You know, Operation Paperclip, public. January 6th, Revolver article talking about unindicted co-conspirators, people that were FBI agents. That is public. Same thing with Gretchen Whitmer story. That is also public. These are all things that are open source and they're factual. They're not false. They're not like made up. In the very beginning, people would talk about it, and then it was confirmed later, is the point. So the government, we have a government that we call it a democracy. We say people are represented here. It is really a republic. It's not a democracy, whatever. I mean, the technical terms, whatever. But the point is that you have a bunch of people that are uninformed in the United States. The government keeps a bunch of secrets from United States citizens, and then we're claiming that we're self-government. Like, how could the system be self-governed? How are we self-governed? How are we governing ourselves without knowing anything about what is going on in the background? And then guys like Julian Assange that actually expose what the government is doing and how they're starting weird, random false flag events internationally to try to start a war and Benghazi related stuff where they don't stand up for our veterans and things like that. How are we supposed to believe that this is a republic? Which, I mean, obviously it isn't. We have it is on paper in act, or it's on paper, but actually putting it into action, it's not currently. I mean, they just arrested Trump essentially for seditious conspiracy, which to me is very broad. And you have this like weird kangaroo court situation. They're locking up guys like the Proud Boys leader, the black guy, can't remember his name, something Tour, Enrique Turo or something like that. They locked him up for 22 years for January 6th. He wasn't even there. The guy wasn't even in DC when they locked it. He wasn't even in DC. It went down, and then they locked him up for 22 years. And they're doing this weird thing where they're trying like everybody at once, so it's kind of confusing. Some things are bleeding into others, some stories, and they're doing it all like around at the same time, same jury apparently as well. So just yeah, it's all terrible. It's all kangaroo court shit. And that's why I'm in favor of somebody like Vivek. I'm not sure if Trump spoke about it, but giving these guys federal pardons first day in office. And that's really what should happen. People that are not, and the statement was nonviolent protesters of January 6th are going to be pardoned first day. And that's how it should work. People that are nonviolent, how are you charging people? I don't give a fuck about, oh, well, I see the liberals doing this one. It's great. It's like, well, there was a jury. So the jury of their own peers decided, oh, yeah, the jury of their own peers that have been literally told and brainwashed into thinking that this was some sort of, this was an insurrection, which is a hilarious word to use. No one's, guys weren't armed, guys weren't shooting anybody, but we're the only person that got shot on that day was shot by a federal agent. But we're all gonna sit here and we're gonna act like it was a real attempt to overthrow the government, which is hilarious that the, you know, we have Air Force, fucking, we have insane amounts of military power that people don't even know. And yeah, a couple of guys unarmed at a Capitol building that were thinking that they could actually overthrow the government is absurd. And people, regular citizens that think that as well, that are brainwashed and believe that people are actually trying to overthrow the government, it's just hilarious. It essentially was they got there and they were given a tour around the building. And that was it. I mean, it's ridiculous what's currently going on. It's a total brainwash campaign. Anyone thinking that that was an attempt at a coup or a insurrection trying to overthrow the government, they have no idea what they're talking about. They don't know what a real insurrection is. They don't know anything about history. They don't know when it's actually happened, when in Shays Rebellion, when U.S. citizens took over a Springfield armory in Massachusetts and were actually like fighting the government. Like that's like a real actual, if you want to call it an insurrection, that's what an insurrection looks like. And seditious conspiracy itself is a very, very, it's a broad term. It's not really a legal term. It's not like a real legal charge where you can say these are tangible things that you have to do in order to reach this level. Kind of like, you know, you have first degree murder, There's malice, there's intent, and there's premeditation. Those are the three things. Like, seditious conspiracy, there's nothing like that. There's no, these are the things that have to be done to prove that there was a seditious conspiracy to do this or do that, right? So these guys got, I think Trump also got charged for it or something, which is, Trump getting charged is hilarious. I mean, the guy, I bought a mug, I'm not gonna lie. I bought a mug of his mugshot just because it's just like, it's hilarious, the whole thing. I think it's a losing strategy. I also think the impeachment for Biden is probably going to be a losing strategy, but yeah, the Trump thing, the craziest part to me is, it's like, if we're upholding the First Amendment, the freedom of speech, freedom of protest, peacefully protest, right? I just don't understand how Trump could be charged with anything. I mean, other than, like I said, a bullshit kangaroo court and this court of your own peers that the Democrats love to march out. They're only saying things like that. These liberals only say that because it goes in their favor. Because currently they control the media apparatus and they control a lot of court systems. They appointed a lot of communist judges with the help of George Soros in crowd. But that does not necessarily mean, like, this whole jury of your peers. Yeah, imagine being 95% sure that... Imagine the mental gymnastics that it takes to be 95% sure, because that's what beyond a reasonable doubt is, be 95% sure that somebody that wasn't in Washington, D.C. should be locked up for 22 years and did not do anything, did no violent, there's no violence at all from this person. This person wasn't even there when it happened, but we should throw him in prison for 22 years. To think that, you have to be like completely on another level. You have to be just consuming straight shit all day. But the people in this country, they have a humiliation fetish. They see the government as more valuable than them, as much bigger than them. And they see them as, this isn't self-government. They actually see them like as their kings and queens. And it's because the media apparatus tells them to. The media apparatus tells them to hate people like Donald Trump. So when we're locking up Rudy Giuliani and his legal counsel, literally you lock up 18 people. Other than Trump, I think it's 17. So like 17 people related to Trump, which is insane. Like just for being related to Trump, you're going to lock him up. On that same list was Lindsey Graham, Kelly Loeffler, who was the senator of Georgia at the time. And I can't remember the other guy's name, but he was also the senator. He was the other senator of Georgia. They both lost after that in their runoff. Well, the one chick lost and then the other guy lost in like a runoff election to that pastor guy that like beat his girlfriend or some shit. I can't remember his name either. He's just like a socialist scumbag. He's another one. Let me look through here what I got. Yeah, I don't think, like I said, I just don't think it's that far-fetched to believe that the government is setting up a bunch of other things considering what they've done so far. They have a very bad track record with thus far, I'd say. And there's definitely like a deep state conspiracy. There's definitely actors that are trying to impact and influence elections. Currently, if you look around, I've noticed many more masks coming back. I had a work event, showed up to the work event, a couple people wearing masks at the work event. I just don't even understand why you show up to the work event then at that point. You should just stay home. I don't really understand. Like, if you're still afraid of COVID, you just stay home. I don't know why you have to inconvenience everybody else, because then they feel weird. It just throws off the whole, like, I'm not going to live in fear like you. Should I shake your hand? Are we giving a fist bump? Like, what are we doing? Should I, like, sit close to you? Should I wash my hands 20 times? Like, it's all just very weird. I don't want to be around that environment. That's why most of the time these corporate events I stay away from, because I cannot relate to corporate people. There's a lot of things I can't say. I'm not allowed to say. I mean, I wanted a Discord server. You know, I invest in crypto, NFTs, whatever, stupid, weird bullshit. You know, I crack a couple jokes and they want to kick me out of the Discord server. I mean... Like in this world, you can't say anything. And it's not this world. It's more like, you know, honestly, I've noticed this. It's in America. American people are very soft. We have it very easy here. And I hate to say it because I love the country. Very soft. We have it very easy here. You don't have to be very, very skilled to be successful in America. If you work hard, you will do well. You just have to find the right niche. You have to find the right... you have to find the right job or the right market that will be valuable. But yeah, in America, we're very soft and we have been brainwashed into fighting each other and dividing each other over race, over religion, over political affiliation. And because of that, it's very easy to make us all fight each other as they wreck our shit, as the politicians steal our money, as they ship money to Ukraine, which really is just going to their family members or even themselves. So yeah, that's all. That's it's a giant psyop for Americans, unfortunately. And when I talk to people from the UK, they are much jollier. And I hate to say it because their government's more left, even more left wing than us, but I think our media is working very diligently to ensure that we all fight each other and hate each other. Because if the government was working in our favor as the individual, the government would not be enriched. The government would not have power over you. It would not be the same type of centralized government. Currently, what we have is, and Vivek says it quite often, is we have a bunch of bureaucrats running the government. Like, they are running everything. We had people didn't have to pay, they didn't have to pay rent for a long time because the CDC said so. CDC has zero say in any of that. In general, the federal government has zero say in that. The federal government essentially for months decided to take control of other people's property. They stole their property without compensating them and told them you have to let squatters live in your house and they don't have to pay you shit. I mean, there was a direct violation of the Constitution by the federal government, and no one will have to answer to it because it's bureaucratic. That's the point. There is no figurehead to point to and hold accountable. It's the same reason that the legislators, they love the House of Representatives and the Senate. They love passing on their legislative duties and powers to the bureaucracy or to the president, so they are not blamed for anything that goes wrong, and they can sit in their positions for very long and just continue to make money off the backs of the American people. And that's currently what has been transpiring, probably, I'd say, since, I mean, it's always been progressively moving that way, but I think it's much more noticeable now in like the 2000s. That's probably when it really, really started, when things just, the veil started to lift and it got really bad. And currently we're in a pretty terrible state. Inflation rates are crazy. I think interest rates at this point are 7 or 7.25, and I think the Fed's going to keep raising them. Housing market's still insane. Prices are crazy high. So your monthly payment is wild, and it's because a lot of people locked in low payments. So now all these other people are going to have to soak up the inflation by paying higher payments and subsidizing it, the market. We have a lot of corruption, and I guess maybe I can get to this. Maybe I could talk about comedy a little bit, and then maybe I'll get to the Joe Biden stuff. No, you know what? I'll talk about culture, which just kind of rolls into comedy a little bit, but I've been seeing this a lot. Like, I think what we need is an actual revitalization, and what Vivek was saying is we need a revitalization of the Constitution, or he said we need a revolution, which he's right. We need a constitutional revolution, which is true. I think we also need a revolution in terms of our culture. I've been getting text messages, my apologies. I'm supposed to be meeting up with these guys I used to work with a few years back, so I've been like getting texts like crazy because I'm doing this right before I leave. But yeah, we need a cultural revolution as well in this country, and I mean, if I had to guess, it probably goes through Christianity because that's what this country was founded on. You see these two parent working households, right? And, you know, I have sisters and some of them work. Well, they all do. They all work. I would hope myself personally, that none of them would have to work and they'd just be able to be mothers if that's what they want to do. If they want to work, whatever, they work. But if they want to just be mothers and work, and they just want to be at home and that's it and their husband works, I would hope that for them. And I don't think that that is sustainable. I think that men have become very weak. I think pornography has made us very weak. I think OnlyFans, models, all that shit. I think dudes simping in the DMs. If you notice, if you look around, this isn't necessarily women's fault. I kind of blame like women and men a little bit. But I don't really know who to blame it on necessarily, because women kind of just are incentivized by men. Like, women respond to how men act, right? Like, they take the lead from men. So if men are going to be super simpy in the DMs, they're going to pay for your fucking OnlyFans, all this bullshit, all this cultural rot, all this crap, all this garbage, then that's kind of on men, right? Like, pornography used to be much more, it wasn't as widely accepted. Now it's like acceptable. We're calling hookers sex workers. It's very weird. Like, we're trying to humanize it, the perspective, and we're not trying to make it taboo anymore. We're trying to normalize it. We're normalizing abnormal behavior. And there's tons of chicks that this is like a, and you see these whatever podcast, you see the Fresh and Fit, I think it's called, the other one. You see them prominent, come to prominence and rise because there's tons of men that are out there that girls are on OnlyFans, and they're like, okay, well, I'm not dating any of these like low value. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with chicks that are on OnlyFans. I don't want to deal with these chicks that have tons of sexual partners in their past that have been ran through and all these other things. I think a lot of guys are lost because there's some guys that feel that way, and there's some guys that have standards, and there's some guys that are just straight up degenerates, and they're kind of fucking it up for everybody else. And then at the same time, these women have a false perception of their value and their worth in terms of like the guy that they can get, right? Girls are asking for dudes that make like 200 G's a year because they have tons of dudes in their DMs, because it's so easy now. Contacting a woman, you don't actually have to walk up to them and talk to them. You just message them on Instagram, or you message them on Twitter, message them on Facebook, all these other things. So it's readily available. So these women, they will have a boyfriend, and you know their boyfriend's a decent looking guy, he's average. Back in the day, that would have been normal for them because they are also are average. But now they got all these guys in their DMs trying to fuck and all this other shit. So then they end up going and sleeping with these guys, break up with their boyfriend. The guy ends up being like, "Yeah, I'm done with you. I don't care about you. I was just here to have sex with you." And these women are kind of like wrecked because then they're just piling up body counts. And then they're like, you know, just mentally, the whole thing all around, they're just mentally wrecked because of this. This is all statistical, by the way. The more bodies you have, the higher chance you have of breaking up or divorcing as time goes on as a woman, because you are used to this state. This is just it's a cycle that just keeps happening over and over again repeatedly. And there's no real loyalty there, and you don't really have that same connection that you would have with your first like few partners or whatever, right? There's a lot of like rebuilding that needs to actually happen there, unfortunately. And it's kind of like men's fault. If men were higher value and had higher standards, then you wouldn't find this problem as often, and you'd find women with lower body counts. And then, you know, same thing. That's just the way that things would work. People would stay together. They wouldn't get divorced, all these other things. All these other factors. I'm sure there's tons of other factors, like economy-wise and stuff. But it's definitely a cultural rot that is taking place. And me personally, you know, I broke up with my ex. I had a girl that I was dating for a little bit as well. We broke up probably about a month and a half ago. So yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like I'm in the same field as some of these guys that go on those... Some of these guys that watch these podcasts. But some of them are like super like, F you. They're talking mad shit to these OnlyFans chicks. And I don't blame them. I mean, I personally am like not interested in dating anyone that does OnlyFans at all in any way, shape, or form. So I wouldn't really value, I mean, I hate to say it, but I wouldn't really value like their opinion on anything, these women, because there's no chance. Like, I would never want to be with them. So what's the point? Unfortunately, like, men, why are you being nice to, why would you be like super nice to this chick that is exploiting a bunch of dudes and like fucking with your shit too? And yeah, it's dudes that are fucking with the culture. The guys are not doing the right things. But, like, women are responding to the things that guys are not doing by incentivizing and making more money off of it. They're monetizing. And then pathetic men are, like, paying the money, these simps, like, these simpy faggots. I don't know. Yeah, it's hard, man. I don't know how to try. I think that the only, like I said, the only thing is we need, like, a Christian revolution. I'm not even a super religious dude, but it's very obvious that I've become more, and I hate the word spiritual. I hate using it. I've become more religious over time. I think nobody should use the word spiritual. It's so stupid. I've become more and more religious over time. And it's because you notice evil. Like, you see true evil. And that makes you believe, like, there has to be God because the devil's, like, here. Like, he's around, man. He's, like, encompassed in people, you know? And that's what makes me believe that there definitely is a God out there. And the reckoning will come. I just don't know when. But it will. I'm hoping there's going to be a huge pendulum swing on some of this cultural stuff as time goes on. And I try to desensitize people to, like, for example, I think all this stuff started around maybe 2012 or 2014, all the weird trans PC stuff. That's like when it really, really ramped up. And that was like second term Obama, because first term Obama was all about uniting people. And then second term Obama was like, divide people. I don't give a fuck because I'm done after this. Like, I don't care if the country's left in shambles. I can care less. I'm a Trojan horse. I don't give a fuck about any of you guys, you know? So yeah, that's when we started to see this cultural stuff. But when I was in high school, it was totally different. The relationship between blacks and whites alone was like totally cool. No one gave a fuck. No one cared. I mean, we'd call each other the N-word in the locker room when we play football. It was totally fine. No one gave a shit. Everybody was cool with each other. As long as you use it with the A at the end and you use it with the ER, no one cared. I'm still cool with a lot of those guys. A lot of those guys are cool dudes. None of them really listen. Yeah, I didn't have any, I mean, I didn't have any, it's funny, I'm, like, called racist all the time, and I'm just like, for what? Like, what am I, it's, like, hilarious. It's like, well, you're racist, and then this is always the best when you challenge them, when you're like, okay, define racism and tell me what I said that's racist, and then after that, they don't know what to do, because there's two different definitions. If you Google it right now, it'll come up as two different definitions. The bottom definition is the OG racism definition, where you think that one race is superior to another, right? Nowadays, it's like, if you say anything that has anything to do with a stereotype, it's racist. So if you make, like, crack a joke about how Asians can't drive or they're good at math or something, like, that's also racist. You can't say that. And there's a reason. Stereotypes actually come from the truth. That's where stereotype. That's why it's a funny joke, because it's, like, it's a subtle truth that people see from lived experience, from anecdotal experience, and they crack a joke. That's what makes them funny. It's, like, the human's ability to adapt and notice things and be judgmental is what stereotypes come from. And yeah, it's because there is partial truths related to them, but nowadays a stereotype itself is a racist joke. Like, you can't say that. So that kind of gets me to my next thing. Like, comedy wise, culturally, when you look at a lot of these stand-up comics, the comedy coming in is not as good as it used to be. Some guys like Schultz, like Andrew Schultz, or Shane Gillis, some of these New York comedians, Tim Dillon, do a good job. They kind of toe the line. They don't toe the line as much as everybody else does. But a lot of these other comedians, especially the LA ones, they're horrible. The only thing they talk about is, like, sex, being gay. But, like, not like I hate gay people or anything. Not a derogatory way about being gay, but, like, pushing up gay people and loving gay people. Cracking jokes on white people, of course, that's acceptable. But other than that, all the jokes generally are pretty much the same. Sebastian Maniscalco had a good one. He was making fun of some kid that said he identifies as a lion. He was pretty good. But he's, like, old-school Italian. Like, the guy's from, his family's, like, Sicilian, you know? So that kind of makes sense, because that's how Sicilians are. That's how, like, Italians are. Not that they're the same, because I know Sicilians will get pissed at that if I say Sicilians and Italians are the same. But, yeah, I mean, I've noticed this. That was one of my topics. I was just, like, watching a comedy special with Shane Gillis. I was like, this is pretty good. I'm surprised, because everything sucks nowadays. And I thought that. I was like, I got to write that down, because, yeah, it's definitely on its way downward, trajectory-wise. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. It's just, like, I put intolerant down here as one of my, and I honestly don't know. I think it's, I guess, be intolerant, maybe. People aren't tolerant of you. Anything that is old school or traditional, nobody is tolerant of you. If you notice, the most angry, most upset, most triggered people are the atheists. And I've been there. I mean, I've been left wing before. You know, I've said this on the podcast before. But the atheists, I've been there. We were all mad at the religious people. I don't know for what reason. And then you realize, like, the religious people are just trying to save their families and do the right thing. And then you realize over time, you're like, those people are fine. Like, they're not really, a lot of the really, really good to the core Christians, you notice what they'll tell you is, I personally am a sinner. And then they'll say, this is wrong. You shouldn't do this. This is wrong. And you'll go, yeah, but you, and then they'll say, yeah, but I'm also a sinner. Like, I know there's certain things I do that are fucking wrong, and I will identify, like, I should not do that. But do I do it anyway? Yeah, I may do it because I am human and we are made in God's image. And it makes sense. Like, we're not fucking perfect. God is perfect, but we are not. We are humans. We are man. So we're not going to be able to fully abide by everything that's in the Bible all of the time. I mean, that's an absurd standard to set, just because if you say I'm a Christian, that does not mean that you are going to 100% always abide by every single thing that's in the Bible. You'll do your best to try to, right? And try to achieve that, and try to raise your kids with the right values, things like that. But doesn't necessarily mean that you guaranteed have to or will always abide to these rules that are in the Bible. You know, I mean, guys have weaknesses sometimes. I mean, I have my own set standards. If somebody's talking shit to me in person, in a public place, afterwards, if I don't say anything in response, or I don't respond in kind or the way that I wanted to, I'll regret my decision in not doing so. It does not necessarily mean that I still don't believe the things that I do. It's just sometimes you look back on situations and you think, yeah, I could probably have handled that a different way, like a better way than I did. You know, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're no longer a Christian or like some fucking bad dude or something. It's just, the whole thing is so stupid, the standard that like the atheists hold Christians to. It's just fucking hilarious. I saw this Lauren Boebert thing with her in the cinema or whatever, movie theater. And I see like the right coming out to defend her, and I think they're in a totally wrong position. I don't know what kind of movie they were in, but just to begin with, like, what? You don't need to defend. Everyone's like, well, she's a citizen, she can do whatever she wants. Like, dude, she's like, her and her mans are trying to fuck, like, in the theater. I mean, you don't need to defend. She doesn't have that much political power to have to defend that. Be like, yeah, that's probably wasn't the right thing to do. Would I call her like a creepy child predator because of it? No, of course not. But like the left wing will say shit like that. Like they'll call her like a creepy child predator because there might have been children in the theater. Should she have done it? Definitely not. Is it an offense that might be that you could get arrested for in a public place? Yeah, honestly, public indecency, maybe you call it. If that even is her in the video, I don't know if they've confirmed it is her. But everything with her is like a hit piece. Like those people, like Marjorie Taylor Greene too. I heard she's a bitch. I know somebody that actually worked on her campaign and said she's an angry ass bitch. She's nasty, which doesn't surprise me. But like, I don't see the point in going so gung-ho to defend these people because it just makes you look super partisan and then you lose credibility when it's somebody from the other side doing the same thing. Like, it's not that hard to say, yeah, you probably shouldn't have been like fucking making out with your boyfriend, like feeling each other up in the building, in a theater, in a public place where you see a bunch of people are sitting near her, if that is her. It's very weird and awkward or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get too into that. But yeah, I think this stuff with Joe Biden, this impeachment stuff, it's a double-edged sword. I'll conclude with it. It's a double-edged sword because you will have a discovery. You will have a discovery of all the bad things he did with his son, Hunter Biden, and all the criminal shit he did. And I personally think Michelle Obama is going to run in the next election. Personally, that's what I believe. She may not, but I believe that they're going to like get rid of Biden. They're going to find some sort of way, especially if it gets discovered, all the shit that he was doing. His son's getting like indicted now for the gun charges, which, I mean, those happened literally years ago. I mean, this whole thing is ridiculous. They're marching all this shit out now, and it's almost like this impeachment stuff usually, historically, doesn't work, right? So that's why I'm opposed to it. Like, politically, it just doesn't work. It emboldens the other side to say, fuck you. This is like a ridiculous witch hunt, which is kind of how they, like, handle with Trump. I mean, in Trump's case, it didn't help him when he got for re-election, but they stole the election anyway, so... Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think Trump had definitely played in his favor when they arrested him with the mugshot, because then people are like, yo, the establishment's like really going after this fucking guy. They won't let him go after he's done. Like, he already lost the election. They're still going after him for what? What are they going for? Simply saying to safely protest or safely and peacefully let your voices be heard or something like that? Peacefully and patriotically let your voices be heard. That's what he said. That was the quote. But yeah, I mean, the Biden stuff, like I said, the discovery will come out. Maybe the media will actually report some of the things that Joe Biden did with his son and how he sold out the American people and how there's tons of these SARS reports, these suspicious activity reports internationally that show that the Biden family was involved in a bunch of international dealings while he was VP and were pretty much cashing out on his position in the government. It was a pay-to-play scheme, just like this Burisma situation with the prosecutor in Ukraine. The left is trying to currently cover that one up, saying, oh, well, he was a very, very corrupt prosecutor, and it was okay that they were pretty much bribing the government to get rid of the they were bribing the government to get rid of the prosecutor with our federal money because that prosecutor was going after Joe Biden's son for his Burisma position. That's the only reason why they bribed him, because they were afraid that they get found out, and that's really it. And I think that it could be a winning position in that case in the discovery of evidence that can come from it and the publicity that the American public sees what happens. Or it could be really fucking bad, and he can win another election off of it, or they can use it to say that there's a witch hunt, that the Republicans or the right wing are going after him. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, that's gonna, I guess, conclude this one. I appreciate everybody listening. I gotta go catch some brewskis with the boys. And I guess I'll talk to you when I talk to you, maybe another 2-3 weeks. Just depends on how the news cycle comes out from here on out. So I appreciate it. and I will talk to you all later.